thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's study Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 40, the triumph of faith. And you can find this study on abideinchrist.com. Go to abideinchrist.com. Abideinchrist.com. Go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 40. How do people of faith respond to persecution? How do you deal with the constant barrage of hostility to your faith? In Hebrews chapter 11, we see demonstrated, the just shall live by faith. It's a divine, supernatural justifying, saving faith, the faith of God's elect, the faith that is not of ourselves, but is of the operation of God, whereby all true believers are endowed from above. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 40, the author develops the relation of faith to suffering and martyrdom. He demonstrates how God honored the faith of Moses' parents under the hostile circumstances. They chose to obey the Lord God above Pharaoh's command to have all Jewish male children killed. God honored the faith of Amram and Jochebed. Not only do we see this strong faith in Moses' parents, but he was determined to associate himself with the people of Israel and the promises of their God. The decisions we make today determine our rewards tomorrow. In this passage of Scripture, we also see the faith of Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. The best estimates are that the Exodus took place in 1446 B.C. We're told in Exodus chapter 7, verse 7, that Moses was 80 years old at the time of the Exodus. So therefore, he was born around 1525 B.C. when Thutmose I was Pharaoh. The historical background of this reference to Moses and Hebrews is found in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. The faith exhibited by his parents had the conviction that God would preserve the baby and he would be used under God's direction to accomplish great things for his people. Exodus speaks of the mother's role, but no doubt both parents were involved in the plan. They hid him in an ark of bulrushes until he was rescued by the daughter of Pharaoh. Moses chose to identify with the people of Israel. Moses displayed his faith, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Enjoying the passing pleasures of sin does not refer to the sensual gratification of the lower nature, but the high position in Egypt with the satisfactions that such prestige and power could bring. Archaeological evidence from the 18th dynasty of Egypt reveals the luxurious opulence of the wealth of the pharaohs. They had fabulous treasures of gold. And as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses was identified with the ruling dynasty with its luxury and power. Moses made a decision not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and pursue the prestige, the privilege, and the power that could bring him. He looked forward to the ultimate reward which we would receive in life to come. Moses refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. And so the word refused means to say no, to deny, to refuse, and implies the deliberate rejection of a career. He refused to be described or called the son of a royal princess, and with it, he refused the prestige, the power, and position of such a position in life. The faith of Moses was the same as that of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had called him to be the one who would deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. Jesus rebuked his enemies, saying, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me," in John chapter 5, verse 46. Moses chose the reproach of Christ. What did Moses understand about the reproach of Christ? We know from his writings in the Pentateuch that he was fully aware of the coming of a divine prophet like unto himself in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18. Jesus said that Abraham was aware of these things. And Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad," in John chapter 8, verse 56. If Moses rejected the privileges of being an Egyptian for the promises of the Lord God, he would expect to be treated in the same way as the coming anointed one. Moses' focus was on the promise of the future with the Messiah. The title Christ is the equivalent of the Hebrew term Messiah, the anointed one. And in the Old Testament, the prophets, kings, and priests were anointed with oil, symbolizing the anointing of God. These anointed ones were types of the threefold office of Jesus, God's anointed one par excellence. The New Testament presents Jesus as the one person who is the anointed of the Lord God. In the Old Testament, he is the coming one. In the New Testament, he has arrived. He is the divine person who, in the absolute sense, is the anointed one, the Messiah. The author of Hebrews tells us that Moses chose to be identified with the reproach of Christ. The persecution was so severe against Moses that he persevered in spite of the wrath of Pharaoh. Remember that the king was determined to kill Moses. And when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian. Exodus chapter 2, verse 15. Other scholars see this hostility against Moses immediately after Israel's exodus. And when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people, and they said, "What is this that we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And so he made his chariot ready and took his people with him, and he took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly, in Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 through 8. He was looking to that reward, we're told in verse 26, has the idea of habitually keeping his eyes on the reward. He kept his attention fixed on the goal. What does God have in store for the believer? Do we also have our eyes on the goal he has in store for us? And some of the suggestions are blessedness of heaven, the messianic salvation, the coming day of the recompense in the city of God. The full reward awaits all true believers in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul quoted Isaiah saying, "Just as it is written, the things which eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. By faith, Moses left Egypt, Actually, he left Egypt twice. And after the killing of the Egyptian, he feared the Pharaoh and fled for his life for Midian in Exodus chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And then 40 years later, he left Egypt under the direction of the Lord God in Exodus chapter 12. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. And by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, and so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through the dry land, and the Egyptians, and when they attempted it, were drowned. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. And even though Moses was uniquely qualified to lead the nation of Israel by his training at Pharaoh's court, the people were not ready to accept him. God continued to hone and shape him in the wilderness. He needed 40 more years in God's seminary. This is a perfect example of the faith God honors. Moses did not cower to the mighty Pharaoh's threats. Philip Hughes writes, "It was during the 40 years of obscurity, which were years of testing and preparation for the final 40 years as the deliverer of his people. And this prolonged interval was indeed a period which called for great faith and endurance if he has to overcome the temptation to frustration and discouragement." It was persevering faith that kept Moses focused on him who is invisible. Moses paid more attention to the invisible King of Kings than to the King of Egypt. And as a result of this focused faith, he endured, meaning to be strong, to be steadfast, hold out, endure. He persevered as if he saw the invisible King. It's a picture of persevering faith that would not turn back to Egypt. He stood firm in his strength, steadfast, and fearless faith. When did Moses see the invisible? Exodus chapters 3 and 4 tells us about living in the wilderness, attending the father-in-law's sheep. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed. God called to him out of the bush, and he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob," in Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. God spoke to Moses often in Egypt. The author of Hebrews is probably referring to the lifelong vision of God that was at work in Moses' life, the invisible one. Takes us back to verse 1 of faith trusting things not seen. We do not look at icons and idols as if to believe they help us see God. Like Moses, our eyes are focused on the invisible one. We see with spiritual eyes him who is invisible. Moses kept his focus on the unseen Lord God, and like Abraham, he continually sought the Lord. And this was his fixed habit of spiritual perception since the day he encountered the Lord God at the burning bush. John Owen said that he has as certain persuasion as if he had seen God working with him and for him by his bodily eyes. The same angel of the Lord who appeared to Moses at the burning bush is also the one who strikes Egypt's firstborn dead and delivers the children of Israel out of Egypt. Many Old Testament scholars identify this angel of Yahweh as the pre-incarnate Christ. We never encounter him after the incarnation of the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. Moses left Egypt behind, never to return again. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. The faith looks forward and is expressed in active obedience to God's command. The author uses the perfect tense to suggest a continuing state. Moses instituted the Passover the night God delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt, and it was intended as a perpetual feast. It took faith to believe the shedding of blood could cover the sins on that first Passover night. If the people did not listen and obey, their firstborn would die. It was an obedient response to God's commandment, and he would not kill the firstborn, and that he would pass over those houses whose doorposts and lintels were sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb. Moses also demonstrated his confidence in the blood of the Lamb of God would provide for the Passover at Calvary. The deliverance out of Egypt was a type of the greater deliverance God would provide. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the writer of Hebrews has had much to say about the blood of the Lamb of God. And after the shedding of Christ's blood, there's no place for any further blood shedding. Praise God. The price has been paid in full. There's no more need for an atoning sacrifice. The Passover was a type of Christ. Christ is the Lamb of God, without blemish, who was slain for us. Christ, the Passover Lamb, was sacrificed for us. He bore the fiery wrath of God on our behalf. And by faith, we come to him today and feast upon the spiritual food he has provided. Whatever is not sprinkled with the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, who was slain and sacrificed for us, is exposed unto the destruction from the anger and displeasure of God, wrote John Owen. Chrysostom said, "And if the blood of the Lamb then preserved the Jews unhurt, in the midst of the Egyptians and in the presence of so great a destruction, much more will the blood of Christ save us, for whom it has been sprinkled not on our doorpost, but in our souls." The faith that crossed over the Red Sea is seen in this passage. The Lord delivered Israel by his powerful hand. They all passed safely over the Red Sea, and the waters rushed back over Pharaoh's army and they drowned in Exodus chapter 14, verses 16 through 22. Israel was delivered because they took God at his word and obeyed. The Egyptians drowned because they presumed on God and were swallowed up by the rushing waters. They had not received any instructions from God. The books of Exodus, Numbers, and Joshua demonstrate how Israel experienced the victory over their enemies as they trusted in the Lord God. Trust and obey is the theme of these books. And yet, even though Israel saw God deliver them, the whole next generation refused to trust and obey and died in the wilderness. They failed to exercise their faith, and the two men entered the promised land, and they were Caleb and Joshua. And so it is with us. We can presume on God, or we can walk by faith, trusting in his word. The only way we can live the Christian life is by putting into daily practice the promises of the word of God through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a walk of faith. And we began the Christian life by grace alone, and it's through faith alone in the provision of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we live in and by faith and trust him daily. By faith, Rahab trusted God and became a part of the Messianic family, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. The destruction of the walls of Jericho was a display of Israel's faith in the Lord God in Joshua chapter 6. The people of Israel marched around the city for 7 days, blowing the trumpets and shouting. Who would have believed anything would happen? It was not human ingenuity or power that defeated Jericho. It was God who did it. And Joshua took God at his word and obeyed. And on the seventh day, the walls came down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 and 31. Rahab was a foreigner and a notorious sinner, but God in grace saved her by faith. In the examples that follow, they are all sinners saved by grace through faith. Calvin said that the fact that she was a harlot heightens the grace of God. Jesus did not come to save the self-righteous, but sinners. Jesus said, "Tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God, not the self-refined." Again, the author does not whitewash the facts of the story. Rahab was a prostitute. All of these Old Testament saints were sinners, all of them. God takes raw sinners and saves them by His grace and uses them for His glory. Rahab reappears in James chapter 2, verse 25, and Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. She is right in the heart of the lineage of the Messiah. She is praised for her faith in the Lord God, the people of Israel, and joining in with them. She saw the hand of God in the invasion of Canaan. Rahab is also a type of the ingathering of the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. God will save all who are personally unworthy by His infinite grace and mercy if they place their trust in His great provision through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. He saves by means of faith in His Son. The author of Hebrews goes on to describe the faith of countless others. And what more shall we say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samson and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, were made and became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by the resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, and so they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging, and yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins and being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 38. This is the only reference in the New Testament to Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. Faith of Gideon in Judges chapters 6 through 9 and his little band of 30 who defeated 135,000 Midianites. Faith of Barak and Deborah in Judges chapters 4 and 5 who delivered the Israel from the Canaanites. Faith of Samson in Judges chapter 13 through 16 who defeated the Philistines on many occasions. Even as at his death, he killed more than he did alive. Faith of Jephthah in Judges chapters 11 and 12 delivered Israel from the Ammonites. Faith of David, who is described as a man after God's own heart. He is the king whom God chose as a type of the coming Messiah and the future kingdom of God. Faith of Samuel, the kingmaker of Israel. And the list goes on and on of those who walk by faith, trusting the Lord God. It's a list of heroes of faith who were determined to do the will of God at all cost. God made promises to them and proved himself to be true to his word. God promised the victories and the fulfillment and faith in the Lord God alone. They obtained the promise, plural, by walking by faith. However, the one promise they did not see fulfilled was still in the future. It was the promise, the singular, made to Abraham and involved the coming of the Messiah in its full manifestation. During their lifetime, they did not see the fulfillment of this promise, but they persisted in faith until death. Because God fulfilled his promises on numerous occasions, they could trust him to fulfill the greater promises in the future. And that promise required the coming of the Anointed One, of the Lord God, the Yahweh. The promise was fulfilled when God sent his only Son to come and die for them on the cross. He fulfilled in his person and work all the promises that were given the men and women of the Old Testament. In these promises, we see the fulfillment of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the way God delivered them from the fiery furnace. We see the deliverance of the Lord God of Israel from 185,000 Assyrians. Why, it's a message of God's provision for his own people. The writer tells us of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of such men and is still not worthy. The world's system drove them out by persecuting them, thinking they were unworthy of living in it. And the truth is, the world is unworthy of having such men in its possession. The Lord God watched over his people and provided for his people. They looked forward to the day when Jesus Christ would come, the Messiah would come. When we have true appreciation for the promises of the Lord God, we will be willing to face temporary reproach and loss of material to gain eternal rewards. How tragic that we focus on material gain rather than the spiritual reward. Warren Wiersbe said that the emphasis in the Epistle of Hebrews is, don't live for what the world will promise you today. Live for what God has promised in the future. When we have a determined focus on God, we will face and overcome the hostility of the world. Only the clearest spiritual vision will overcome the hostile encounters. Moses was continually seeking the unseen. He saw with spiritual eyes the unseen, and this was the secret of his greatness. The testimonies of the saints in Hebrews 11 reveals a hope that is ever moving toward the utter conviction. The Christian faith is filled with certainty. And the Apostle Paul can say, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him until that day. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. And when we trust and obey the promises of God's word, we experience victory in the Christian life. None can ever make himself perfect. Only the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives transforming us. And when we're saved by faith, we will walk by faith. We live in now, in the yet to be. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. The Lord God is offering you that hope right now in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.